Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to another very special edition of the Gospel Truth. And today, we are on location, as we've been for quite a while, at our lodge. There's a couple of reasons for that. We wanted to show that our lodge is still in existence. You know, we've had some people just panic and wonder if everything was burned out in Colorado Springs over the summer by these fires. And of course, it wasn't so. Matter of fact, some of our staff was talking on the way up here that, you know, there you can go through the pass, Ute Pass on up here to Woodland Park, and in many ways you can't even tell that there was ever a fire. So anyway, everything's good. And also, we're in the process of building a new set. And so until we get that new set built, we're going to use a temporary facility here at our lodge. And also, that's the reason that you'll see me not change shirts every day. We're doing like 10 programs in one day. And so I'll be wearing the same shirt for 2 weeks. But let me assure you that in real life, I don't wear the same clothes for 2 weeks at a time. Good thing that's not smell-o-vision. Amen. But anyway, we've been teaching on the subject of Christian philosophy, and I am very excited about this because this is just, this is foundational stuff. I've already shown from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, that everybody has a way of looking at things, a paradigm, a worldview, and we shape all of the information and everything that comes to us. Our opinions are based upon that. And so, in the first part of this teaching, I was showing about theological issues, about how that the Word of God is the infallible Word of God. We've got to get to where we believe God's Word. We've got to believe that God is absolute and in authority. He is God and you aren't. And we dealt with all of these issues and showed theological issues and things based on Scripture. But what I want to begin to do now is to start making applications from the Word of God, what the Word of God says about things in our culture today. And let me just start off by saying that there's going to be a lot of people, you know, I hate to say this, but I've just ministered to so many people. I know the reactions of people. Everywhere I go, there will be a certain segment of people who will think that I'm, veering from what I'm called to do as a minister in talking about social issues. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about homosexuality. And I'm going to talk about evolution. And there's a lot of people that think that a minister has no business getting into these areas. You ought to just stick with the Word. But the Word has things to say about every one of these issues. And it is not, you know, God didn't create a spiritual or a religious realm and then a secular realm. Men have departed, and men are the ones who make their life, you know, that this part is secular and this part is spiritual, and they devote a certain amount of time to God. But God created us in His image. God created us to have relationship with Him 24 hours a day. There shouldn't be a religious and a secular part. There shouldn't be things that we just leave up and that the, you know, the Christians stay in church and they talk about only spiritual things concerning heaven and hell. And in this life, we just let it go. I shouldn't even have to say this. But in our day and age, this is increasingly being pushed upon us. There are people thinking that Christians, you know, ought to stay inside their churches. Your opinions about God ought to be reserved for your personal devotion and for your time in church. But it has no place in the marketplace. That is absolutely untrue. There's so many scriptures. I could get off and teach about this. I'm just wanting to make reference to it that I am not only enabled to do this by what the Lord says in His Word and what He's called on me, but I believe that there is a responsibility on ministers to make statements about public, secular, if you want to use that word, policies and things like that. And in the absence, in the void of the ministers standing up and speaking out on these issues, that's the reason that the secular world, the ungodly people, those who do not have a Christian philosophy or a Christian paradigm and way of looking at things, that's the reason that they've been able to gain the traction and the influence that they have is because Christians have been silent on issues. And of course, this program is being seen all around the world. And so not everything or every person watching this is going to, be in America. They aren't going to apply these things directly to our position. But in our country, we are approaching a presidential election that I consider to be one of the most important that we've ever had. And even though I'm not going to make statements specifically on individual candidates and things like this, I am going to talk about moral issues and things that should influence a Christian's voting. And again, I know that there's many people saying that this is totally wrong. You should not be doing this. I should be doing it. I've got an obligation by God. And not only, from God, that's enough for me. But if you went back and truly studied the history of the United States of America, I forget the exact details, but I'll be general. And so, some of you may get upset and try and challenge me on things. We could go and give you references and proof for all of these things. But I know that there was like a majority of the people who signed the United States Constitution, Declaration of Independence, were Christians. Most of them, I believe many of the signers were actually ministers. The United States was formed basically as a result of the revival, the awakenings that went through the colonies in the 1700s. And it was, I forget exactly how many times, but hundreds of times, either scriptures or sermons were quoted in the Declaration and in the Constitution. And every founding father spoke out and advocated things about the Lord. They made moral stands. John Adams, who was the second president, the first vice president of the United States, said that democracy is totally unsuited for anybody but a moral people. He said if the United States ever ceases to be moral, then democracy will destroy this nation. And the logic behind that is that we have the ability to self-govern. And if we ever lose the influence of religion or Christianity on our culture and it becomes immoral, well, then democracy will allow us to vote all kinds of ungodliness in. And that's what we see happening in the United States and in other democracies and republics all over the world, that the church has lost its influence in the marketplace, and it's increasingly becoming more and more secular. They are approving things that are completely contrary to morality, and basically they're turning their back on everything that God has established, and it just doesn't work. There are people that try and separate the United States from Christianity, and I don't believe that America should be exclusively Christian in the sense that we persecute, prohibit, hurt other religions. I believe that there is a huge difference between Christianity and Islam, that Islam wants to kill anybody who doesn't become a part of their religion. And I know that there's people who will get upset at that, and that's not all Islamic people are like that, but in the Quran, in the core of it, those are the principles involved. Christianity isn't like that, and even though this isn't exclusive to Christians in the United States, Christianity is the one that gives other people freedom to believe whatever they believe. And it was founded on these Christian principles of free choice and personal responsibility. So anyway, I don't want to spend my whole program talking about that, but I'm just saying that I not only have the right, but I believe I have a God-given responsibility. I have the precedent in history that ministers are supposed to be speaking out on some of these moral, social issues. The things that are defined in the Word of God and clearly stated have a place in the public marketplace. And so the second half of this teaching on Christian philosophy is going to be talking about moral issues. I'm going to start off talking about evolution versus creationism. And again, I know that there's people who will say, well, man, you're way off base here and you have no right speaking about these kind of things. Personally, the Word of God is sufficient for me. I don't have to have anything but the Bible. I believe that the Bible is more up to date and more accurate than any scientific stuff. And I could spend a lot of time talking about that. But the Word of God has proven itself to me. I've lived by it. the truths in the Word of God have resonated on the inside of me. They've changed my life, and I don't have to have somebody with a PhD come along and confirm it. I know that I'm getting narrower and narrower in the people who are really agreeing with me and responding, because there's a huge amount of people that, even though they believe that the Word of God is from God, they do not believe it to be authoritative. They believe that there's all kinds of mistakes in it. They believe it's a vague representation. They don't base their life on it. And so there's a large segment of Christianity that, even though they might respect it to a degree, they do not believe in the Word of God as strongly as I do. I've already talked about a lot of things in the first part of our teaching on Christian philosophy about the infallibility of the Word and the proof that it is not just a document from men. It is a God-breathed, God-inspired document. And I believe that. And I believe it because of all of the things we've already discussed, the facts, the statistics about it. But, you know, really, the number one thing that convinces me of the truth of the Word of God is because of the way it has changed my life. As I read and study the Word, I mean, it just explodes on the inside of me. It comes alive. There's a part of me. There's something that resonates on the inside. And the Word of God has changed my life. I have based my belief systems, my philosophy on the Word of God, and I've proven it hundreds, thousands, and thousands of times, even to the point of seeing my own son raised from the dead because of the truths that the Word of God present. And so you're just too late to tell me that it doesn't work. I know it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is sufficient for me to settle this problem of evolution versus creationism. But even though that's true for me, and that's true for many of the people who will be watching this program, I know that there's a large segment of Christians that, again, they might honor the Word to a degree, but they really honor all of the natural things that we are taught, our educational system and things like this. They're really very similar to the degree that they honor that. And so when people come out with discoveries, like, you know, just recently they came out with something that the scientist had found this God particle that basically shows the particle in all of creation that started everything. And some people get excited about that. I've had people approach me about quantum physics, and I don't know a lot about that, but I've heard enough to know that many people are saying that quantum physics is actually showing the existence of God. Every time they discover something like a piece of Noah's Ark, some kind of archaeological thing that confirms the Word, people get so excited because, oh, this shows that these things are true. You know what? I believe that they're true because they have changed me. I don't have to have somebody else come along and confirm it. But for those people who believe that a minister is totally unqualified to speak about these things, you ought to leave this up to the scientist, you don't know what you're talking about, I've got two scientists, I mean card-carrying, credentialed scientists, who I'm going to be interviewing and speaking on the subject of evolution. And they are going to give you all of the details, and I'm really excited about this. You know what? It didn't change a single thing I believed. It didn't make me believe it stronger. I believe what I believe because of the Word of God. But I'm aware that there's a lot of people who are skeptics, and then there's a lot of people who are believers, but they're skeptical believers. And there's a whole group of people that the Word of God just isn't enough for them. There's a large segment of people that they don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Their beliefs are based on things outside of the Bible. And for those people, I believe that as I go in and talk with these two scientists and verify things and show you proof of things, that creationism is the true way that this whole universe and you and I came into being. As I show you these things, I think it's going to be an impact, and it's going to help people. But again, I want to spend a few days just sharing some things from the Word and showing you what the Word of God has to say about how God created the heavens and the earth. And I am going to make some statements right here, and I'll spend a few days from Scripture verifying it, and then I'll go to these scientists and we will show you some scientific proof, things outside of the Bible that verify and make all of these points. But did you know what? For me, it's the very first verse of the Bible. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That just settles it for me. I don't need anything more than that. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that. And I don't have any problems with that. Did you know that evolution primarily is a non-theistic evolution? Now, there are some people who believe in what they call theistic evolution. They believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all of the life forms, but He did it through evolution, and it took millions and millions and millions of years to happen. There are some Christians, there are some theologians who believe that, and I'll acknowledge that, but that is not what the Word of God teaches. And I'm going to spend some time trying to go through these things. But let me just say this. At the very least, and I mean this is a huge compromise, but I don't see how a Christian who believes in what the Word of God teaches can embrace a non-theistic evolution, can embrace that things just happen spontaneously and that God did not create it. I cannot square that with Scripture. And this is one of the reasons that I believe it is so critical for me to address this apparent contradiction between evolution and creationism. I believe it's imperative to address it because there are many people, many, many people, Christians, that will not stand and speak against evolution because they have been told that it is an established fact, that it is an acknowledged fact that evolution has been proven over and over. And it's said so often that people are just afraid to stand up and say anything about it. You know, one of the things that really bothers me is when you go to these national parks and it's beautiful and you go there and you start reading the things and they say 20 million years ago this happened, when the Bible makes it very clear that since the fall of Adam, now we don't know exactly how much time there was between the time God created the heavens and the earth and then mankind and the fall of Adam, but I don't believe it was a very long period of time because He told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And I don't believe that hundreds of thousands, millions of years could have passed or there would have been a multitude of people besides just Adam and Eve. So just by virtue of the fact that they didn't have any children until after the fall, I believe it was a relatively short period of time. And the Scripture makes it clear that since the fall of mankind, I've actually gone through Scripture. This took me over 20 years to put together a timetable, adding up the lives of these people and how old they were when they had this child and then how old that child was when he died and when he had descendants. It took me over 20 years adding these things up, but I, by my own reckoning, have come that the earth is only 6,000 something years old. I'd have to go back and look at that to get the exact figure. And then I've read other books and other theologians and commentaries who've done the same thing, and our ages vary less than 50 years. And you know, that's really not a significant amount when you're talking about thousands of things that you've added up. And you know, the person, it says it could be in their 600th year. You don't know if that was just the day after they turned 600 years old, talking about Noah, or if they were towards the end of that. And so you add up all of these things. 50 years is really a statistically insignificant amount. And the point I'm making is many people have come to the same conclusion. The Scripture shows that since the fall of Adam and Eve, it is less than 7,000 years since that happened. And of course, evolution is exactly opposite of this. It takes hundreds of millions of years for the theory of evolution to evolve and for their supposed thing to happen. And so, the reason I'm saying all of this is to say that if a person embraces evolution and accepts this as a fact, it is going to go exactly contrary to what the Word of God says. Now, I'm going to show you a lot more Scripture. I'm going to interview these scientists and show you that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of scientists that do not buy into the lie of evolution. You're told that it's an established fact. It is not an established fact. It's a theory. It's actually a belief system. And a person who believes in evolution has to exhibit more faith than a person who believes in creationism. I know some of you will be shocked by that statement, but I can guarantee you it is absolutely true. Again, I'm not a scientist, but I have approached this subject hundreds of times. I've talked to people. I've studied. You know, when I was in school, I was a math major, and one of the things we took was the laws of probability. And again, I'm not going to be specific because somebody will challenge me on it and throw out the whole thing. But I'm be general in these statements, and I know it to be true, that anything to 10 to the, I forget the exact number, but it was around 10 to the 10th or 10 to the 12th power, anything that, you know, the law of probability, something happening like that, anything beyond the 10 to the 10th or 12th power, whatever that figure is statistically impossible. They say that it is impossible. It cannot happen. And yet the probability of evolution happening is something like 10 to the quadrillionth power. And every single time, like from 10 to the 10th power, from to 10 to the 11th power, that makes it 10 times more impossible. So when you go to the quadrillionth power, it is just unbelievably, astronomically so impossible that it could not happen. And so just from the laws of probability, the science of probability, you could disprove evolution. You know, again, the Earth's gravitational pull is decreasing just a minuscule amount, but it is a steady, active decline. Back 5,000-6,000 years ago, the gravitational pull was stronger than it is today. And if you take the known observable decrease of the Earth's magnetic gravitational field, and if you just go backwards with that, any life as we know it could not have existed over 10,000 years ago on this planet. And I know that there's people watching this program, there's Christians watching this program saying that is absolutely absurd. It has been proven that the dinosaurs were millions and millions and millions of years ago. It is not proven. It is not true. I don't know if any of you ever saw this movie, Expelled, but you know, it shows that there are lots of scientists who've challenged the science, quote unquote, of evolution, and they get disbarred from universities. They get ostracized. They get criticized. It is not objective. There are thousands, I mean tens of thousands of scientists who have taken a stand against evolution as it's described and presented. And again, there's variation here. Some of them believe in intelligent design and different things. I'm not going to go into all of that, but I'm saying that there are people who reject all of this based on science. There are unbelievers that reject evolution based on science, not based on some scriptural model. It is not a proven fact. I'm going to go through scripture. I'm going to use these scientists, and we're going to show you some things. And I believe it is imperative to counter this lie of evolution because the Bible does not teach it. And if you embrace evolution, you are going to wind up rejecting the authority of the Bible. That's detrimental. I'm out of time today, but we will continue this on our programs tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer and please write in and get these materials that we're offering on Christian philosophy.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Christian Philosophy is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in a companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. It's been designed so that anyone, anywhere, at any time can reach an unbeliever, disciple a new believer, or grow with others in the Lord. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get this teaching on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. And each is available for a gift of any amount. To see all the ways you can get today's teaching series, go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is titled Creation versus Evolution, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. And while you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 22nd through the 24th, in Kampala, Uganda for a Gospel Truth Seminar October 26th and 27th, at the Glory of Christ Church in Kampala Sunday, October 28th. He'll also be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 8th through the 10th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth on Sunday, November 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
World Changers, Tom and Cindy Boyd, Caris Bible College graduates, class of 2004. After serving an internship in Colorado Springs, they opened Caris Bible College Atlanta in August of 2005.
Basically, we're just duplicating ourselves and making disciples to go and to share the love of God and to teach.
Over the years, Tom and Cindy have witnessed the power of the truth to set people free.
I thank God for Caris Bible College, because it's taught me that there are leadership qualities within me.
It's the best place in the world to find Jesus and to know His love that passes all your understanding.
It just changes people for the better.
If you'd like to find out more about Caris Bible College Atlanta, visit their website at www.cbcatlanta.org.